There is no earthly way of knowing.
Good man is on fire.
Which direction we are going?
Direct me El Camino. It would have been DWI.
Have reached a tipping point.
Hello, hello, hello. Good evening and welcome to Tipping Point, a very special show tonight. I am Stephen Platinum. And I am joined, as always, by the incredibly attractive Larry Goodman and perhaps equally attractive Miss Rachel. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'll take that. Okay.
That's a swerve. I don't know. I read another Vince Russo book and I got inspired. So I decided to go a completely different direction on that in an effort to bump up the ratings. So, man, I don't know. What is the weather like there in Georgia right now? I know we never start with weather stuff, but it is raining cats and dogs and God knows what else here in Florida. How is it over there?
It's about boiling. To start doing the same thing in East Atlanta.
Woof! Well, the rain's coming down, but that's not going to damper our spirits from doing the show. Tonight we are talking about who are the front runners of the Georgia Wrestling History Awards, and we're going to have, as a guest, the person who I think is hands down the most improved wrestler of the year, Tyson Dean. He'll be on a little bit later, and with a little bit of luck, an Eric Emery movie review. I believe he reviewed Ant-Man. So I am dying to see that or hear that review.
He did indeed review Ant-Man, and I'm desperately trying to contact him now to make sure we can get him on here to do this review. So hopefully we'll
I would imagine calling Eric Embry is a lot like calling half the people that I know, where it's like, why is his phone disconnected again? Why? I don't know. Got to get it together, people. But Larry is going to do his level best. Larry, where were you this last weekend? You were at Anarchy on Saturday night, correct?
Just answered your own question, Mr. Platinum. Yes.
See how I do?
I was definitely at Anarchy.
Give us your assessment, please.
My assessment is that it was a solid show in the ring. And something's not right when you're only drawing 65 people.
That's a tough road to hoe there.
Yeah, that's down at the bottom end of what they've ever drawn in that building, except in the middle of a snowstorm. That 60 is the bottom, and I just think it speaks to the fact that this angle story, which both you and Rachel are involved in, is just has not done anything to stir the Anarchy fans to do anything different than usual as far as they'll show up for the big show, and I think they'll be there for Hostile Environment on the 22nd, but they just don't have any interest in turning out in numbers for the TV tapings. It's just not stirring them to do that. There isn't a sense of excitement or anticipation that something really unusual is going to happen, and nothing unusual did happen. I mean, I was really underwhelmed by the handshake between Jeff G. Bailey and Palmer to seal the deal of their working together against you Platinum people, but that was pretty much a foregone conclusion that, I mean, there was no real mystery there that they were going to be working together. They certainly hadn't had any problems getting along. So and that was the climax of the evening.
Well, hostile environment. You know, hostile environment is going to be the war games. And Rachel, you accepted the match of PCW against Anarchy. I saw a post by Charles and by others where they're assuming I'm going to be there. Why the hell would I be there? I don't know. I figure I got in, did what I needed to do, disrupted Anarchy, Bloody Jeff. I have no reason to be there. Rachel, what was your thinking behind accepting the match? I think it's perfectly great that you did. I'm just wondering what was going through your mind when they sort of made that match, and why did you accept it?
Well, of course, when Jeff G proposed the match, I was out of the country. So
yeah,
shows how spineless he is exactly. But of course, standing there with Brian Blaze, Washington Bullet, BJ Hancock, Lars Manderson, and the Jagged Edge behind me, why would I not accept that? That is a sure bet if I've heard of any before.
Yes. Well, my wrestling weekend, on Friday night, I went to Shine, open show in Ybor City, which is near Tampa. Great show, packed, top ticket price, and a great night of action. And then on Saturday night, I went to I Believe Wrestling, which is Chasen Rance's kind of gym show that centers around the school. And I had a good time there as well. Saw a couple of people that I booked before, like Josh Hess was on the card. And it was a good night. It was fun to get out and see a wrestling show or two this weekend. And I mean, Larry, where are you going to be on Saturday?
I am most likely going to be at UIW. I had thoughts of going to Flatline, and you know, we really have never talked about Flatline on this show, and we probably should have,
right?
Because I've heard a lot of good things about the shows they run in Augusta. But most likely, I'm going to be at UIW. They're bringing in Zach Gowen, Gregory Irons, and they've actually got a pretty good card this time around. So I'll probably be in Temple.
Well, let me pitch you real quick, Larry, because at PCW on August 1st, Johnny Danger is going to get his title shot against both of the Washington Bullets. And it's been fun to see everybody's reaction to that. Like I said, I don't know if you heard me earlier before the show, I was talking to Rachel, that Jeter cut it. It seems like everybody's picking a side who they want to win. And Jeter, a phenomenal 4-minute promo talking about Johnny Danger. It was actually very exciting to see. And so that's what's going on. And Rachel, if I remember right, you're taking on the Carpenter himself, are you not?
I am. I challenged him about a week and a half ago now, and fully intend to follow through with that.
Well, that's my pitch for Saturday, August 1st. I'm actually going to be there, and I'm going to have somebody in tow with me who was a PCW favorite years ago and hasn't been seen much lately, but I'm going to have him with me. So that's another big surprise for that show. But talking about Anarchy's woes, if we can go back to that really quickly, we can talk about one of the categories before we bring Tyson Dean on. And here's the category I want to talk about, because it's the one that I wrestle with the most. Booker of the Year. Now, in past years, it seemed like it was a much easier thing. There was usually two or three people who are all doing great stuff. Last year was sort of the rise, or, you know, I don't want to say the rise. I want to say that attention was finally paid to Andrew Alexander, and he won that. This year, thus far, it was actually really hard for me to call. I think Rick Michaels is a name that you got to throw in there because he's booking a number of promotions. But let me put this out there. It's Peach State isn't drawing. Now, I would not say that, you know, what you draw and do not draw is exclusively on the shoulders of the booker. But Larry, you're a fan of Peach State's. You're a fan of Rick Michaels' booking. Would you say Rick Michaels is the front runner for Booker of the Year? Or would you say it's Andrew Alexander, the PCW crew, or who?
Well, I would say hands down Rick Michaels. Now, in fairness on that, mm-hmm. of course, I have only been to, what, one show in Rossville for Empire. I've only been to a couple shows, Platinum shows. So it's more difficult for me to fairly judge that. But based on what I have personally experienced, Rick Michaels.
Yeah. I think Rick has done a great job. If nothing else, when Southern Fried was booking those like 4-hour marathon shows, it was refreshing that Rick kind of simplified things, usually to a 5-match format. And I think he's one of the reasons WrestleMerica has gotten off to the good start. Obviously, they sell tickets based on who's going to be there from the outside talent. But the fact that they're not just beating those fans up when they come there to see their show probably gives them a pretty reasonable retention rate. And that's a sign of a good booker. And Rick has obviously upgraded the NWA Atlanta show in particular, at least as far as who he's using in the ring. And he has also been one of the major advocates for Jimmy Rave and making Jimmy Rave a big star and putting the Peach State title on him and things like that. Rachel, what is your thoughts about who Booker of the Year is so far this year?
I think Rick is definitely one that if he's not in your mind, he should be, because, you know, everything that you said, and I think the really impressive thing is look how many places he's booking and that they're all doing fairly well, or they've all greatly improved from before he got there. I think that that's an excellent example of what Rick does. The other one, I don't normally do this, so it's weird for me to say, but I would say the PCW Forum, and I only say it's weird because I try not to vote for myself as a rule, but we don't necessarily put all of the drama out. Well, not we don't necessarily. We don't put all the drama out there. And Crew has hit enormous speed bumps along the way. And what most people don't realize is everything that's going on right now, we had something else entirely planned like a year and a half worth. So I think that things are going so well is a testament to what's going on at Platinum.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't argue with the is getting the most out of the talent on hand. The Platinum bookers certainly seem to be doing that. Because, talent-wise, up and down the card, you don't have the talent that some of these other promotions do. And I also don't think that, I think Andrew is doing just as well as he did last year in booking, at least based on the big shows that I attended. But, Rick is just, as you guys already documented, he's all over the place. And you can't argue with WrestleMerica, something's going right when you're drawing over 400 people a month. Something's right with that. Hello.
Okay. I was waiting for Steve to bring up the next topic.
Well, we have lost Steve. Let me see if I can get, he is gone. He has dropped here. Let's see if we can get him back.
We're waiting for him.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I was hoping we didn't have a repeat of last night's Georgia Wrestling Now show. For those who tried to tune in last night, they lost their internet connection about 15 minutes into the show, and that was that. They were done for the night. So apologies to guest Damian Wayne, Gregory Irons, and Zach Gowan on that. Technical difficulties beyond their control, so that show was scrapped, and the little bit that was recorded was deleted off the site.
So all right, here I am.
Yes, he's back.
madness. I blame it on my roommate who flipped a switch or something. So we've now my vote for Booker of the Year. I think you know it's the three that we've talked about. Rick Michaels is if you got to have a front runner, it's Rick. I think Andrew has done a really good job, And I think the Platinum crew has done a really good job. When I look at the other booking teams around, I use the word sexy. I don't see sexy around. Just something where I go like, oh my God, like that angle's unbelievable. Or I really like the direction that they're taking with such and such company. I don't get that vibe off of anybody else. And I'm hoping, you know, again, there's still 4 or 5 months left in the year. And a lot of groups do a lot of their great stuff in the fall. And we'll see what people can pull out. Is Tyson Dean available, Larry?
I just texted him to let him know. We had communicated a little earlier. He should be with us shortly. While we're waiting, okay. You know, we've got a couple of follow-ups from last week's show that I think we ought to touch
on. Please do.
One, it was pointed out that the mention that Logan Creed had turned at Southern Fried and was involved in that main event in which Tommy Pinarelli beat AJ Steele, that was incorrect. Logan Creed did not turn on that show.
It was Jacob Ashworth who helped Tommy Pinarelli pick up the win. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Yes, that was my mistake. I'm the one who said that. But it was Jacob Ashworth. And anything else?
Regarding the Chris Lash interview, two things. There was a question that I asked Chris about comments he made about NWA Smoky Mountain and Tony Givens, and he said that that was not the case, but he later then posted that, in fact, it was the case, and that he was in the hospital under the influence of medication at the time that he made those posts, but he did own up to making them and did apologize to Tony for what he had said. We also talked about possibly having Troy Lowe, the current promoter of Great American Wrestling and Chris Lash's former partner and David Marquez's former partner, come on the show. And I did reach out to Chris Lash. Did reach out to Troy Lowe, and he declined. He did not feel that it was going to be of any benefit to him or to Great American to come on and respond to Chris Lash.
All right, so no Troy. It was Jacob Ashworth done it, and Larry is right, which is the lesson that you can almost always take from things. Larry is right. So next category, if we could.
We have Mr. Dean on the line now.
Oh, please. I will be happy to introduce him. Ladies and gentlemen, the far and away front runner for most improved wrestler, a guy that is beginning to spread his wings and wrestle all over the place, former all kinds of champions, wrestled the Iron Man match against Jimmy Rave, having himself one hell of a year. Ladies and gentlemen, Tyson Dean. How are you tonight, Tyson?
Doing well. How's everybody doing?
We're doing well. I think we're all a little waterlogged, but other than that, we're doing great. So,
how are you getting a lot of rain in Florida?
Oh, my Jesus, yes. It's funny because everyone's like, when you move to Florida, it's going to rain all the time. It almost actually never has, but when it does rain, my God, it's like end of the world rain. It's like seeing pairs of animals walk into an ark rain. And we've got that right now. But Tyson, earlier we talked about who we thought Booker of the Year should be. And it was, we had a discussion. There was like three different people or groups of people that we thought could be Booker of the Year. But when it comes to most improved, I don't know if there's even a close second place, honestly. What have you attributed? What do you attribute your just really great meteoric rise this year? I mean, it's been a phenomenal year for you. What do you attribute that to?
Going back overall would be having Crew Jones as my trainer. And I mean, that really helped me out leaps and bounds. But then over the past year, Rick Michaels and the experience that I've gotten in the ring with Jimmy Rave, and then just opponents that I've had over the past year, being able to take the time of sitting down with them after matches and saying, all right, well, what can I do to be better? And then taking that advice and going back, and I watch, and then just watching the matches over and over again and picking them apart, trying to pick apart things that I like that other people do and making it work.
You know, it would be super helpful if I quit hitting the mute button. So from the last time I saw you, you've physically changed a lot too. Do you think that that has influenced things anyway on how many bookings you're getting or what kind of opponents they're giving you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, that was one of the things that it's especially for me. I mean, because I'm not very tall. I'm under 6 feet tall. That was actually the first words out of the promoter's mouth in Texas was, wow, I always thought you were a lot taller. Like, I've never heard that one. But, I mean, so it's really more important that cosmetically I look the part because I'm not 6'5" or whatever else. So, yeah, it's definitely got me a lot more attention whenever and, you know, whenever people are looking for a guy that looks the part, it helps me stand out a little.
Tyson, you know, like I said, it's just been such a great year. Has there been a shift for you in attitude at all? Like, I mean, when we worked together, I mean, it seemed like a million years ago. It was a few years ago. Have you gone through kind of like a mental change? Like, when did you just make the decision of like, I'm going to really go for it right now? Because it really has been a remark, and all credit to you. I mean, you're very gracious to talk about Crew Jones and Rick Michaels, but really this required an attitude. I mean, this just seemed like it just required this attitude of like, I'm going to be great. And what brought that about? Like, can you walk us through that?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds funny to relate it to this, but I got divorced, I guess, a couple of years ago, and didn't really have a good support system around me at that time. And so, you know, whenever I, you know, made a lot of changes and then decided, yeah, you know, I mean, it was something that I loved and I wanted to pour the time into it. Obviously, after that, I had the time. And, you know, since then, I've just surrounded myself. Got a lot of the same friends and everything, especially through wrestling, but then, you know, with surrounding myself with family and then a new lady in my life and everything, and just, you know, a whole new support system, I guess, would be the biggest thing that people that tell me, you know, you need to go for this. It's something you love, and, you know, take it as far as it goes. I mean, if it never goes any further than it did today, I've obviously I'd like to do a lot more, but I feel like I've done more than what I had expectations for coming in.
Yeah. Now, Larry, you've probably seen more Tyson Dean matches in live than Rachel and I have in like the last year. What's something that you've noticed? What's the big shift that you've noticed in Tyson, having seen him?
Well, yeah, and this is something he and I talked about, his interaction with the crowd. The way he plays off the crowd and draws them into the match has improved dramatically over the last year, I would say.
Yeah, that's one of the things that, like, and you see a lot of people do that, because, I mean, I always, and that's another improvement, too, is always, I always try to grab a chair and watch everything that everyone does, but you see a lot of guys that on their entrance, they're great, really get the crowd involved and everything. But then once they start into the match, it's like them and their opponent are the only two people in the room and the crowd kind of gets left out. And I think that's a big draw to an independent show is that, you know, whoever from the WWE or whatever, they may not involve those people. They may not turn and speak to the crowd and let them be a part, and they get a special interaction that they don't get other places.
Now, Tyson gets a chance to work for different promotions within the state, and now out of the state, you know, NWA, which is kind of like home base for you, is obviously affiliated with the NWA, and that's leading to opportunities, and you had a shot at the NWA World Champion, and you held a title for them. In a perfect world, like, take out all the nonsense about, you know, what the normal, like, oh, they don't take people over 30, whatever, blah, 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 nonsense. Where would you want to wrestle, and why?
Where, I lost you just say, where would I want to work?
Yes.
New Japan. And
New Japan. Ooh, please tell us why.
It's just something I've always been drawn to. The, like, I don't like, I heard a saying, I don't like professional wrestling being labeled as sports entertainment. I think that professional wrestling can be an entertaining sport when it's presented right. And New Japan's always seemed to do that. And I've just ever since I was, God, as far back as I can remember, that's what I've been attracted to. I mean, even watching their shoot fights and everything, the spectacle and how it's presented, and then just the style. I really like the style more because they still work in a way that high spots really mean something. You know, it's not an acrobatic act, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I was watching the G1 Sunday, and just the way how it was presented, I just love it. I mean, if I had an ideal dream place, that's where I would want to be.
NWA's and Bruce Starr's connection with New Japan, might that be in the cards for you?
I hope. I mean, that's really, really been my hope with trying to get my name out within the NWA, as I know that there are guys that they select at times to go. I worked in a four-way match with Chase Owens two or three weeks ago, I guess, in Nashville. And he had just gotten back off of a leg with the NWA going over to New Japan. And that's been a big attracted to me for the NWA, is to try to make that happen.
That's great. Tyson, I would love it if you would just hang out as long as you wanted to with us while we go over the other categories. But I have one more question. For me, now you're far and away. Like I said, I can't imagine anybody is going to even be in contention for most improved wrestler by the end of the year. That's the truth. Now, if you were gonna pick somebody though, because now you're getting around and you're seeing other promotions and you probably hear about different people, who's somebody else? Who do you think has also made great strides in improving?
Can I come back to you on that one? I had wrestler of the year in my head, and then.
Well, you know what? Why don't let's just go there. Tyson, who would you say wrestler of the year is?
Jimmy Rave.
Jimmy Rave.
Yeah, I mean that. I had a lot of respect for Jimmy before being in the ring with him so many times over the past year, but I mean. There's just times, even in the match, I'm like, damn, that guy's good. It just, things they're doing, little things, just little tweaks here and there that he does. And it's seen him work as a babyface, as a heel, and then different body type guys, different style guys, and I've not seen him have a bad match.
Great answer. Larry, I'm going to put it on you. Jimmy Rave is obviously, I think, your choice for wrestler of the year. You've sort of sung Jimmy's praises even before, I think, almost anybody else. You definitely saw that he was going to be a big part of any number of promotions. Who's somebody else that you're impressed by, either that you think have improved their game a lot or would be a second or third to Jimmy Rave for wrestler of the year?
Boy, you know, I'd have to give that some thought. Because
you know, let me throw this name out and see what people. Let me throw this name out there and see what people think as far as most improved. And maybe it's just a matter of more people are catching on to this guy. Fry Daddy.
Yeah, I mean,
Fry Daddy is a guy to me that has managed to kind of, I mean, I've gone on record as saying, like, I could not hate that name more. And like, when he worked PCW, I was just like, I can't, Fry Daddy, no. Like, I can't do that name. But, man, is that undeniable. That guy is so ridiculously over. And he's one of these guys that people want on their card. Now, Tyson, you've obviously been on cards with Fry Daddy, wrestled Fry Daddy. Have you noticed a great deal of improvement this year, or is it just that people are catching on to him?
It's both. He and I actually were trained together. And he's got a thing like his baby face charisma. He's got a charisma that, you know, you can't teach. And he does. I mean, he draws people in, and his wrestling, I always mess with him about that. He gets too much of the WWE stuff into it, the current stuff, but he's added a lot of things to what he did last year compared to this year. He's really added a lot to what he does and how well he does it.
Nice. Rachel, is there anybody who you've noticed a great deal of improvement from, or somebody who you think deserves mention for Wrestler of the Year?
That's such a hard one, because I tend to work with the same guys, and sometimes I look at the people that I see as boiling a frog, that it's just so gradual that sometimes it takes going back and looking. So I don't know that I have anybody off of the top of my head, but I would definitely say Tyson is one. It's a name that the last I heard from him was when my husband was managing him at NWA Atlanta back when it was still MGCW. And now all of a sudden I'm, you know, seeing him with belts on and seeing him all over the place. So
yeah.
I definitely think Tyson has my vote this year.
I'm gonna throw another name out there for us to discuss, because I'm a genius, and that name is Kevin Blue, who's always been well regarded, but it seems like he's taken another big step. Larry, you've seen him a ton. Rachel, you actually talk to him a lot and give him advice and things like that. Would you agree with that assessment that Kevin Blue has improved a great deal this year?
Absolutely. And again, that's another one where boiling the frog. I just, sometimes it takes a minute to notice or stepping back, but just he's been given the chance at Anarchy to get out from that undercard that can suck so many guys in. So he's on the cusp, but I think definitely being given that chance has given him that extra push to hit that next level.
And the opportunity to to expand his repertoire and show that he can be a really good baby face and a really good heel.
Mm-hmm.
That's been really impressive to me. I'd like to throw out another name, though, too. And this may not be so much that he's improved, but just that I have an opportunity to appreciate how good he really is. Joey Lynch at Empire.
Oh, talk about him a little, Larry, because I think maybe less people are familiar with him.
Well, he doesn't have, I think what may be deceiving is Joey Lynch is not a very tall guy. Great physique. But what really strikes me about him is technically he is really sound. I would say almost, if not at a Corey Hollis level in terms of how sound he is and what he does technically, and he's a strong guy. He's got really good fire. Really good talent. The only thing I can say is I wish that Joey Lynch would get out and travel more. I think the Scenic City Invitational will be a nice opportunity for him to show what he can do.
Nice. I'm going to switch gears. I'm going to throw out another category, give you guys a second to think about it, and then we'll go around the horn. Promoter of the Year. That's a tough one. Promoter of the Year. Last year's winner was Charles Anschutz, and, you know, he had acquired, he was Southern Fry, was on, and drawing big. And then he had acquired Anarchy, which is obviously a big power move. This year, promoter of the year, is it still Charles? And if it's, and if even if it is, are there other promoters of note that deserve mention? Who wants to field that one first?
I'll take that one.
Yeah,
I'm going to say Luke Gallows.
Oh my goodness. Talk
about
it.
Why.
Yes.
Here's why. Because if anything, when it started, it looked like it was going to be, oh, well, this will be a one-and-done deal. Run in Barnesville. There's another promotion that already runs there regularly that, in fact, I don't know if they still do, but they ran head up against him the first night in. And guess what? 400 people every month bringing in a star. He's found something that worked, and it continues to work. And there's no arguing with that. There's no arguing with that success month in and month out. Will he be able to keep it up for the rest of the year? We shall see.
Tyson, obviously you've worked for that promotion as well. Do you agree with Larry's assessment that Luke should be up there for promoter of the year?
Yeah, Luke will probably kill me for not thinking about that right off the hand. But I was running through my head and I was like, oh, yeah, so, you know, I was thinking about it because Shane usually draws pretty steady at Peach State. And then Charles, working for him in October, I've never been there, but from everything I hear, he draws well steady. And then I was thinking, who else? And then Larry said Gallows. And I was like, well, yeah, I've been on every one of them. I think I had enough sense to look around and notice.
Rachel, is there somebody different you think deserves mention for promoter of the year?
I agree with them both for additional reasons, but also I'm going to say PCW is one of the few places that hasn't had the crowd dwindle.
That's true.
It's a cozy place, but a lot of places that had 300 or 200 people now have 100, 150. We may have a small crowd, but that crowd has stayed or grown the whole time.
It's been a good year overall for Georgia. I mean, I haven't worked a show at all in Georgia that I can think of that, at least in the calendar year 2015, 2014 had a couple of them that were off. But, I mean, overall, you've seen, like, a lot of people really turning out for wrestling shows more in the state.
There's certainly a lot more shows doing, I mean, gone. A lot of the shows that would draw like 20, 30, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Those shows seem to mostly have died horrible deaths, which means two things. I mean, one, I think that gives people better options to watch wrestling. And two, it means my voodoo dolls do work. So we can all be thankful for that.
Hey, Steve, could you put those voodoo dolls to work in West Georgia, though? I think they still got some of that issue out there in West Georgia.
Oh, hell, let's talk about West Georgia. There's no reason. I mean, when we have Tyson here, who, I mean, I'm sure Rick Michaels talks his ear off about West Georgia. Rick Michaels talks my ear off about West Georgia, and I think it's a topic worth discussing. So let's start off just by listing the promotions that would be considered West Georgia promotions. Oh, my God. All right. So let's start. UIW. Someone else name one.
Southern Extreme.
Because Peach State is West Georgia, right?
Yes, correct.
Absolutely.
The former Christians Gone Wild, now Scotty East Chandler, SECW.
Right.
Oh, is that the same? I thought that had gone away. I didn't know that was
going
on.
No.
No.
No. No.
And I mean, if you look at the talent of SECW, it's crazy. Like better and better people are wrestling there. I think it's, I mean, I just think it's one of those where they run on a Sunday and some people are like, oh, I'll just pick up a booking. But yeah, no, they're still around. Who else? I mean, I know for
about,
a while, Josh.
What about Hard Times? Is that West Georgia?
Yes, yeah. They are. Hard Times. Another group. another group where the talent has improved.
And I don't know if you want to count Cedartown. I mean, that's, I guess that's kind of an area of all of its own. You know, I guess a little bit too far north to be West Georgia.
So we've got all these promotions sort of log jammed in one general area. And I remember during the height of, like, kind of, I guess if you want to call it that, the UIW Peach State feud, they would often run shows, I mean, a stone's throw away from one another. Though that's when both promotions were doing well, and it was a legit competition where UIW was drawing in the, you know, in like they averaged 150 and then often got shows in the twos, threes, and fours, depending on who they were bringing in and how they presented the show. And now, I mean, so many promotions in West Georgia. I don't, or is it a case where we're just griping? And we should be glad that there's so many shows.
No, because I think that what bothers me about the, and I'm sorry for just jumping in, but I mean,
no, please.
What bothers me about the number of shows in Georgia. I mean, I'll hear about shows in Georgia now, or I'll see something that I've never even heard of them. And I thought I'd heard of everything in Georgia.
Amen, brother. Yep.
I mean, it bothers me that because like some people will see some of the quote-unquote wrestling shows, and I'm like, man, that's not what I do, and I don't want people associating thinking that's what I do, and it bothers me because it's people that, for the most part, unless it's like you were saying, guys just trying to fill a booking, they're doing that because they can't do it anywhere else, and it makes everyone else look bad. I mean, if someone came in and all they'd ever been exposed to was say TNA or WWE or Ring of Honor or whatever, and they saw there was going to be a local show and they went in and that was their first exposure, what do you think the odds are of them ever trying anything like that again?
Yeah, I'm always of the mind that the live wrestling show is the place where, you know, that's how wrestling is meant to be. I don't really think of it as a television product. I mean, obviously it's been on TV since the birth of television, and it's ebbed and flowed on how successful it was, but man, there's nothing like that live experience. If I talk to everybody on the phone with me right now and went, you know, tell me about your first like live experience in wrestling or the first thing that made an impression of you, your voice would change. You would become very excited. I mean, you had to have that positive live interaction with wrestling to truly become a fan. And there's just a lot of shitty promotions. And West Georgia, for some reason, there's a crap ton, and I know people pull out their hair over it at the good promotions. Speaking of which, promotion of the year. Somebody want to take a stab at that one?
How does that differ from promoter of the year?
What's that?
How does it differ from the promoter of the year?
The promoter of the year, I mean, would be Luke Gallows, but does that mean that WrestleMerica is the promotion of the year?
I don't know. I mean,
for example.
Things. And, like, trying to think of people that you see. It, like, I've never been to Empire, but everything with them, well, listen to you guys and,
yeah,
you know, it seems like you're always putting it over and everything, and it sounds really good. And then DSCW looks like they've got. I'm just judging off the cards I see. I mean,
right,
there was,
right.
What was it then? I try to look at it on like things that like I see stuff. That I'm like, I'd like to see that. You know, whether I was working it or not, I'd like to see that card. Somebody had Jimmy Rave and the Tokyo Monster against one another.
Right, that's Al Getz's show, I believe, right?
Is it mm-hmm. Al? I didn't think.
Oh, no, that's DSCW. Maybe that was DSCW, I'm not sure.
I think it is. It was around October, and I was like, man, that's something that if I was buying a ticket to a show, I'd like to see that.
You know, my standards for promotion of the year are different, which, I mean, I think that's why this is an interesting question and debate. For me, it's what promotion is moving in a direction where I go, I want to, like, I'm interested in what they are doing as far as like angles and like, are they, is it a good place for the guys to work? Is it a place that the wrestlers seem to want to be? Are their fans really hot for what's going on there right now? And Larry, what's your assessment of, but you know, that's just my standards. Larry, what do you think promotion of the year is?
Well,
so
one thing, when you were naming those standards, I would say mine are very similar. And on that basis, it's splitting hairs for me between Empire and Peach State.
Mm.
I put them both right there for promotion of the year.
Rachel, who would you say promotion of the year is so far? You work at a couple of different places, and you're soon to wrestle for many more. Actually, you wrestled for, the most number of promotions you've ever wrestled for or worked for.
I've at least doubled this year. If they can maintain momentum, I would say Wrestle America would definitely be a contender for that. I haven't seen the shows, but all of the hype that I hear about it, the guys seem excited to want to go work there. It's crowds up and paint up. I think that's as far as, especially in the summertime, that's a very impressive thing. And I know that's
true.
Probably promotion, but people aren't going to necessarily come back to a show that isn't good. So their sustaining numbers also, I think, factors into being show of the year. Of course, PW and Empire, and I'm biased, so I would say PCW has to be in there as well. The crowds are always excited to be there. I think there's always something interesting and different going on for having what we joke, six guys, we always have something different going on.
I'm going to go a completely different direction now, not talking about promotion of the year. The Bill Barron's awarded the Ted Allen Mentorship Award. Now, I had said for years that until Bill Barron's wins it, it doesn't really matter. And lo and behold, he won it last year. So now that sort of opens it up. Who are the guys who have, I don't know what the standards are exactly that each person would use, but I would assume mentorship. Who are the people who have provided the most guidance, who have brought people along the best, worked with wrestlers, benefited pro wrestling in general? Who's that guy in Georgia that deserves the Ted Allen Mentorship Award? I think there's an obvious candidate, and that's Rick Michaels. Tyson, you mentioned Rick earlier. Do you mm-hmm. think Rick Michaels should get that Ted Allen Award this year?
Yeah, I mean, that Rick was the first one that popped into mind. I actually had three people that have helped me out in the past year. It was Rick, Jimmy, and Luke, because those are, you know, the three guys that have the most giving me advice and everything. But yeah, I mean, I see Rick do it with everybody. I mean, he talked to Andy and I both on our way up to Nashville and, you know, with things he thought would be good to see us do. And I see him doing that for a lot of people. And basically if you're willing to listen, he's willing to help.
Yeah. Rachel, is there anybody besides Rick you would think of for that award?
In Georgia, no. It was always one of the things he said that he wouldn't win it until after Bill Barron's won it. If you look at any cards, it's all guys that trained with Steve. I wouldn't be any of the places. It's not just something where we would come in and do a match and get some advice. I mean, it's an ongoing thing for all of the guys. Anytime I talk to Steve, he's talked to five or six of the other guys, and there's still advice going on. And hey, don't do that because that's not how it's done. I mean, it is a mentorship for individuals, not just on individual occasions. So if it counts for the Georgia Award, my vote would go towards Steve.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Larry, is there a name that you hear as far as the guy? I mean, guys, I'm thinking of specifically, you know, at Anarchy, once upon a time, it was Brody Chase was, I think, one of those guys who the boys leaned on, who gave advice. Brody really hasn't been around this year. Is there anybody else like that that you hear about or see at various shows?
No, that's left a hole there, I think, with because Brody definitely would have been one of those. Another guy who's not active anymore that would have been one of those might have been Bull Buchanan, who's
not
active. But as far as active guys, no, Rick's really was the one that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about, let me see, what are the other categories? Oh, a group or tag team of the year. This ought to be an interesting debate. This award has been, I mean, not the sole province, but the Bullets have definitely, I guess, dominated this category in recent years. Who is there any name that pops up of a group or a tag team that you think deserves consideration for the award, anybody?
Aside from the Bullets, Big F and Deal, definitely. They've gotten around more. They've just gelled so much more this year. I think that they're kind of an undeniable front runner for it.
Mm. Larry, is there a team or a group that impresses you?
Well, I think the Young Lions down the road, yeah, I could see them, but not
mm-hmm.
yet. White Rose group up at Empire, which is really Chip Day and Hollis, with those two together, you can't discount them. But I mean, I don't think anybody's really close to the Bullets. I don't see anybody beating them here by any stretch of the imagination. When you look at their body of work, the places they're going and so forth, I really don't see that. One other name, if we could just go back to mentors for just a second. And I don't know, I don't have enough knowledge of him to know how much mentoring he does, but in terms of the places he's been and how long he's been around, Bobby Hayes.
Oh,
yeah,
Bobby Hayes. That's a good. That's a good catch, Larry. Bobby Hayes is a guy that doesn't get mentioned nearly enough, and I would agree with that as well. Right.
He's a good guy. That's somebody Al and I were talking about a while ago. I can't remember who he named him, but he was just talking about the guy. I hadn't had all that good of a match with somebody, and I said, "Well, who do you work?" And he said, "Bobby Hayes," but. Just knowing Bobby, I was like, if you had a bad match with Bobby, something's not right. Bobby's a great guy.
Another category, Woman of the Year. Woman of the Year. Huh. Rachel, right now, racking her brain to not talk about herself.
Who's
going to be tough?
You have no
idea. I mean, I think the first two winners are the obvious. I mean, I would have to be talked out of Pandora or Rachel. Is there another woman who deserves consideration?
What about Amber Gallows?
Oh, let's talk about Amber Gallows. Thank you, Tyson. Let's talk about her.
I mean, it goes along with, you know, being on the show with Luke and everything, but she's really gotten out and gone to a lot of, well, I mean, she was always all over and everything, but getting into Japan and everything this year.
Yeah. And I mean, I saw her at Shine on Friday and,
Okay.
So I think Amber Gallows, Larry, I'm going to put you on the spot, Larry, you got to pick between those three. Who is it? Is it Pandora? Is it Rachel? Or is it Amber Gallows? Or are you going to pull out a mystery fourth name?
I am not.
Larry,
I'm going to go with I would have to go with our very own Miss Rachel on this one.
Mm. What is your reasoning?
I'd say terrific mic work at Anarchy. I've not had an opportunity to hear much of her on the mic at PCW, and then, you know, getting out in wrestling, women like LeFisto and doing more in the ring, the combination of the two, to me, gives her the award.
Yeah, you know, LaFisto and Angelina Love and all the rest of it, Rachel's done a great job. Pandora continues to get booked everywhere and anywhere, even places that said, I mean, privately to me, like, oh, we'd never book her, but they have to bring her in. She's got a fan base. She's a draw. She knows how to work a match. And, you know, here's a name for Woman of the Year that shouldn't be there for this year, but I have a feeling that she'll be a contender starting next year. And that's Dementia De Rose. I think partnership with Bill the Butcher has reaped dividends already. I think he's been a kind of a stabilizing influence over, which sounds ridiculous, but you know, she's making her bookings. I think she's really worked that character to the core, and you know, being with Bill gives them both a very viable spot on the card and all of that. So hopefully we'll see even more great things from her in the future. Wow. Any other categories that we can cover? Boy, we got through much more. Oh, who's the performer of the year? Performer of the year. An award that used to be dominated by Shadow Jackson. And it's the award that, honestly, I've been the least happy with the winners over the last couple of years, because I think people don't understand what that award is supposed to be. It's the Tommy Rich Award. Is that right, Larry?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the Tommy Rich Award.
So, I mean, it's supposed to be the category for the performer that gets by on charisma. Like, when Crew Jones won it, I could understand why people would vote for him, but Crew is like a total package guy to me. Like, he can do anything, and he's got the body, and he can work in that ring. That I just thought that the Performer Award is supposed to be about a guy who gets by charisma, really. Who is that guy, you know? The Simon Sermons or the Shadow Jacksons. So who's Performer of the Year this year? Does anybody want to throw a name out there?
Carpenter.
Yeah, Carpenter.
If you look back at everything he's done, he was Oscar-worthy, O-Dub. He was, what was it, Ricky Nugent?
Ricky Nugent.
Yep. Ricky Nugent.
Yes. So he's gone through so many different gimmicks, but has been really successful in all of them. And I think Carpenter's probably the most different and the most successful.
He is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Carpenter. I'm sorry, please. Yes.
I was just going to say, I mean, a guy that I haven't seen him work much at all, but I've always, he gets a lot of mileage out of his character and how he comes across as Johnny Danger.
For sure. My God. Especially at PCW, but though he will go out and he wrestles NWA Atlanta, he used to wrestle PWR. And I know like AWE at one point very early on was interested in him, which is a testament to his performance skill. He's a guy who blew his knee out dancing, folks. but that doesn't impair his ability to get booked. So Johnny Danger, I think, is another good one. Larry, is there somebody you see maybe at Empire who we don't get to see that you just go like, that guy like has it, you know?
Oh,
he's got that juice, that charisma.
Absolutely. Mr. Sports Entertainment, Jay Clinton. In terms of performer, absolutely. But my difficulty with this category is each of these folks is really a one promotion person. Not there's anything wrong with that, but it makes it hard because they're the performer in their promotion, but not across promotions. I mean, another off-the-wall suggestion, and I never thought these words would cross my lips, but Stupid in Peach State.
Mm-hmm.
For those same kind of reasons. But yeah, I mean, you have to see Jay, you have to see Mr. Sports Entertainment Jay Clinton to appreciate him.
I'm sold on the name already. I just want to like punch in the face. So I figure that's got to be a good thing. Definitely. Manager of the year. Huh? We haven't covered that yet. Let's cover Manager of the Year and then go into our final segment. Manager of the Year. I mean, the obvious, I mean, who's had the lock on the thing? It's Jeff G. Bailey.
Charlie Cash is going to make a comeback, I'm sure of it.
Charlie Cash. the year of the Rampage Blight.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it. The year of the Rampage Blight when, my God, I mean, thank God Woman of the Year wasn't around back then, or we'd have to talk about Miss fucking Alley being performer of Woman of the Year, and I would have to shoot myself, or at least stab out an eye. But Jeff G. Bailey has had a lock on that award. This year, the improbable babyface turn. Is Jeff G. Bailey still King of the Mountain by far, or have others caught up? Thoughts?
I like my own manager, Al Getz, and then Oscar Worthy, or two that, like, whenever I hear their promos and everything and what they do, and they do it right for getting their point across and getting the message through, but during the match, not they add to and not act as a detractant from the match.
Al Getz. I mean, Al Getz has made a comeback in a big way. He's a presence in a lot of different places. And Oscar Worthy, of course, another manifestation. Same guy who does Carpenter is Oscar Worthy, who started managing in NWA Atlanta. Larry, you get around a little bit more than we do, you tramp. Is there any managers out there that you see that you've been impressed
with? Well, I like Steve Dave at Empire. Another off-the-wall selection. But I'm not saying he's Manager of the Year, but I enjoy Steve Dave.
Nice.
I think the question, I think about Jeff G. Bailey is, can he win it as a babyface? That's the challenge for 2015 for Jeff G. Bailey.
Mm. Rachel, I'm going to put you on the spot, and this is a completely unfair question.
Uh-oh.
You or Jeff G. Bailey?
I'm going to say a quote from somebody else, and that makes it okay for me to say this.
That's right.
Someone told me that they didn't realize that I was that good that I could make Jeff G a baby face. And since this is probably my last year managing, I'm voting for myself.
All right.
Nicely done. Larry, did we ever get a hold of Eric Embry?
I am pleased to report that I was successful in reaching Mr. Embry, and he is prepared to do a movie with you.
But before we do, we have not talked about Wrestler of the Year.
We kind of touched on it, that it was probably Jimmy Rave. We didn't talk about technical, but what did you want to say about Wrestler of the Year, Rachel?
I'm voting for Shane Marks again, damn it.
Shane Marks. Please make an argument for Shane Marks.
If you look at Shane Marks, you would say that he's probably about an average wrestler, but he is by far the best technical wrestler that I know, with the whole package involved. He gets the fans excited about it. Great facial expressions, great mic work. I think he's, like everybody says, he's the most underrated guy, but I will not stop voting for Shane Marks.
Obviously Tyson and Jimmy Rave wrestled a phenomenal Iron Man match, but Shane Marks and Jeter wrestled a phenomenal Iron Man match. Shane Marks and Jeter. I mean, that's quite an accomplishment, but we do have Eric Embry ready to go. Normally we just play this segment and say goodnight. So Tyson Dean, I want to say, first of all, congratulations on just doing such a great job and improving yourself and improving the promotions that you're on. And you've been a phenomenal guest. And next week, Tyson, is there anything you want to talk about or plug before we go to Eric Embry?
Just the August 15th show in Barnesville, be wrestling Matt Hardy at WrestleMerica.
Oh, boy. That is exciting.
I'm looking forward to that. And then actually, it's not until October, but the show for Charles, it's AIWF American heavyweight title tournament. And whenever he contacted me about it, I was like, yeah, you know, I got that open. And then, but now seeing the entrance, check that out. The guys that are going into it, I'm excited about some of the people in there. Hoping to get paired up with, never worked with Kyle Matthews or Francisco Ciazzo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, those are two guys that I'd like to be in the ring with. That's shaping up to look pretty good.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Tyson, thank you again. Rachel, me and Larry, so glad that you could come on. Larry, what do we have up for next week?
Next week, we're going to talk a little bit of G1.
Oh, boy.
G1 tournament with Trent Van Dries, who's been following New Japan for a while and following pretty closely. And I will say, if you're not watching that, you may want to check it out. I mean, for $8.88 or some ridiculously low price, you can watch the entire G1, and the video feed is really nice. So there's my quickie plug on that. And also, though, we're going to have Ace Rockwell on. He's going to be part of the Scenic City Invitational, which comes up the following weekend, and he's going to be on to talk about as one of the guys representing the Chattanooga area in that tournament.
Well, hey, awesome. Larry. And if, yes, please.
Oh, please. Does New Japan World have an English version of their site? I know that sounds off the wall. I mean, I had a hard time the other day trying to navigate through it to watch the G1.
Yeah, I mean, I struggled with that, too. What I was able to do is I found that some things on there translate to English, but some of them just simply don't.
Yeah, that was the problem I was having.
Yeah, no, I ran into the same thing.
Mm.
But there's a little calendar up at the top. You click on that, and that'll get you into the current G1 shows.
Okay, I'll check that out. Thank you.
Gotcha. Well, for Tyson Dean, Miss Rachel, Larry, and I, we are now proud to present, after a very long vacation, this is Eric Embry.
It's Exotic Eric's Movie Review of the Week. Hello, this is that old Eric Embry. I'm a pro wrestler, and I'm also a cinemaphile. Now listen, brother, I wanted to catch myself one of them old summer blockbuster video movies and decided to go see Ant-Man. Okay, now, I get to the theater, and this man says, for another $2, I can get some sunglasses. Turns out, man, this movie's in 3D. So it starts off, and they say, hey, man, listen, it's 1989, and I just know they gon' mention that Eric Embry is defending the Texas territory from that evil Skandar Akbar. They don't even mention it. Now, these old scientists say they discovered the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids particle. But, hey, that old Rick Moranis, he don't want to give it to the government, okay? So now they say, hey, brother, it's present day, okay? And I'm thinking, we can't even call it Christmas no more. We got to call it present day. Hell, man, no Christmas tree, no garland, no turkey, no Bing Crosby. How am I even supposed to know it's present day? Well, anyway, it looks like we're in modern times, too, as well, on present day. So this one old boy is getting out of jail, and he says to his friends, hey, y'all, I ain't gonna work heel no more. I'm strictly babyface from now on. I got a daughter to take care of. He don't want to go back to jail. All right, and they say, well, what you gonna do for money? He says, I'm gonna be like dyslexic Ric Flair and save some. Maybe give it to my daughter. Okay, well, he ends up getting fired, and he decides he's gonna work heel one more time. Now, here's the thing, man. I ain't the sharpest brick in the picnic basket or whatever, but I get stuff. And these old boys had to show me something happening. Then afterwards, they'd tell me the thing I just saw. Then old Rick Moranis would step up and explain it all over again in words for stupid people. Hey, man, I get it. I got these 3D glasses on, but you ain't got to hit me over the head with a 3D hammer, okay, man? So Rick Moranis and his daughter is helping out too, and she's like Yoda, except you want a banger. She's that old gal from Lost, and I'm like, man, I sure wish she would get lost with them clothes, you know, but they didn't do it. Missed opportunity number two. Well, Little Beaver ends up saying he's a baby face, and he ends up going against another evil midget, Little Tokyo, and they're fighting, and you'd think that'd be pretty interesting. But I'm like, I seen better midgets in 1982 when Kevin Sullivan fought Bill Dundee, man. Brother, they fight. It's a Donnybrook. Now, how long they've been teasing this other territory, man? The subburst where everybody's real small and shit. Oh, Basic Instinct guy says, don't go into the small verse, man. And all along they saying, sure would be bad if somebody had to go into the small verse or whatever. Well, then here comes old Triple H with a sledgehammer to hit me over the damn head with it. I get it. Don't go into the small verse. Blow off happens. Everybody's happy. No, wait. It's a falsie. Then they do the blow off. No, wait. That's another falsie. Have you ever seen a match with so many falsies that you start thinking to yourself, gosh, I sure wish there was a realsie right about now? In the damn match, finally the movie ends. I'm like, all right, let's go get a post-movie donut. No, wait, another falsie during the credits. I sit back down. I get up to go. Lord have mercy, another falsie after the credits? Come on, man, I gotta get home. I get out to the lobby, another falsie. The people at the concession stand are doing one more scene from the movie. It's old Honky Tonk Man and Jerry Lawler fighting it out. Do you think, Jerry Lawler, you weren't gonna kill the territory with a million damn falsies fighting in the concession stand, brother? You think you're gonna kick out everybody's move who comes into Memphis? All in all, I got a free pair of sunglasses that make the world look real weird. Plus, it made me appreciate that some small computerized world around us that we can't see. I give this movie a hip toss, an arm drag into a headlock, and a long rest hold. I'm Eric Embry. I'm available for bookings, both here and in the small verse, and I'll fight a grasshopper in a steel cage if I have to. Good night, y'all.
What just happened?
Thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio
Network. Rick Moranis, by the way, he stopped acting Rick Moranis to take care of his kid. Like, that's
awesome.
After his wife died, he just said, screw Hollywood, I'm going to take care of my kid. That's where Rick Moranis has been. Hopefully he stays away from the Ghostbusters movies. That's right. He's back to shrinking people. Oh. That old Eric Embry.
I'm going to start calling it present day.